Hello, everybody. We are ready to start a new little unit in this Egoic Lotus webinar series. And this is to take a closer look at the three synthesis petals. The innermost petals, the inmost petals, they go by different names. Not much is said about them. There are nothing particular, nothing specific about the particular petals involved here. But there is some material that DK has offered that will be useful in general. And then if I make an attempt to see what kind of effect different energies will have on the unfoldment of these petals, especially between the third and fourth initiations, then we may have a little basis for these speculations. Actually, they do begin to open before that time on the basis of what is done in the work and unfoldment of the other petals. So we're here, it's the beginning of program number 60, and I have a little compilation here on the synthesis petals. Some of these references I have used before in various other contexts. Here is one that says the causal body. It's about the monadic heart center. That's the function that the causal body, or egoic lotus, plays in the entire monadic system. In studying the egoic body, it should be remembered that the causal body is the correspondence in the monadic manifestation, that's what he calls it, the entire monadic system, the correspondence in the monadic manifestation to the heart center. It is a flaming wheel of fire within the monadic auric egg. And I think we should not think of it as independent, but as within the monadic system or manifestation, which embraces the five planes of monadic manifestation. The monad itself, as we presently experience it, is upon the sixth plane counting from below, or the second plane counting from above, and below it, from the atmic plane on down, are the planes of its manifestation. It is also seen not only as a flaming wheel of fire, and this is, you know, interesting perspective, lest we get too fixated on the idea of a lotus, but it is also seen as the 12-petaled lotus. Of these 12 petals, the innermost three are unrevealed, or are embryonic, at least for the average man it is so, and hence the causal body is frequently considered as a 9-petaled lotus, at least for individuals before the stage of initiation has begun, beginning with the birth of the Christ in the heart. So it's frequently considered a 9-petal lotus, or as a wheel of fire with only 9 spokes or whorls. Spokes, whorls, petals are all attempts to describe the energy manifestation of the different aspects of the customary or normal 9-fold egoic lotus. This is essentially true as regards the evolutionary process, that it will be ninefold. But when a man has succeeded in awakening and unfolding the 9 petals at the third initiation, or in arousing the fire of the 9 spokes or whorls, we really have to get the idea there, you know. Petals, spokes, and whorls, which is practically consummated at the three major initiations. Of course, that may not be technically correct, because there is more unfolded at the first major initiation than the outer tier of three. Matter of fact, all 5 petals are unfolded, first 5. Then the inner three are revealed. In other words, after the third initiation, the inner three are revealed. And notice we're calling them major initiations, even though there is sometimes a tendency to say that major initiations do not begin until the third. They respond to the monadic vibration. The inner three respond to monadic vibration, to the aspect of pure spirit. It is the stimulator or stimulation or revelation of these inner petals by the one initiator at the third and fourth initiations, which brings about the final conflagration and the blazing up of the causal body with the subsequent liberation of the central positive life or fire. Another way to call that, in a way, is the volatile essence in alchemical terms. Now notice something I think we should notice here. The one initiator stimulates also the synthesis petals at the third initiation, and not only the fourth initiation. So, you know, the technicalities of exactly what Sanat Kumara as the initiator touches with the rod of power, the flaming diamond, at the third degree is not given. We anticipate that it's going to be the third of the sacrifice petals, but it looks like there is a further type of stimulation. Stimulation or revelation, those are the words by the one initiator, and that's at the third degree, and at that third degree all nine petals will be unfolded. Maybe I'll make this just a little bit bigger. I think it's a little too small. All right. I'm just looking at, you know, these are not in exact order, but I've arranged them so they're more or less in three categories: the general structure of the egoic lotus as regards the innermost petals, the synthesis petals, then the unfolding of these petals, and finally the destruction of the causal body when the petals are unfolded. There are probably hidden references because they don't come in only under the petals of synthesis or innermost petals or inmost petals, or they can come in under three petals and so forth. So there may be further references, but I have taken care of these references either in my written commentaries on A Treatise on White Magic, or in some cases, I did the last 100 pages of White Magic wanting to finish it as a webinar commentary. Here we have something on the evolution of the petals. The building of the causal body is the result of dual energy, that of the lower self with its reflex action upon the higher unit, which I presume will be the egoic lotus, and that of the natural energy of the self as it makes its direct impress upon the substance of the egoic lotus. And self is in small letters, but could this self be the monad itself? Because there is an impress occurring from below. This would mean an impress from below and from above. It is here to be remembered that subtle though the material may be, really too subtle for the normal perception, the egoic lotus is as truly substance of a particular vibration as is the physical body. After all, it's still on the lower 21 subplanes, which are considered to be the dense physical body of the solar logos. Only, owing to its rarity, the rarity of the substance, physical plane man regards it practically as non-substantial, for all practical purposes to him, to physical plane man, unless at the third degree or beyond, with the higher psychism developed, it is a non-substantial structure. It is, in fact, as earlier pointed out, the result of the dual vibration of the fivefold Dhyanis, or gods, these are the solar angels, in conjunction with the fourfold quaternary, or Pitris of the lower vehicles. So we have the work of solar Pitris, I just realized something, and lunar Pitris. And since there are nine petals, it is as if five of them are solar in nature, and four of them with a more lunar tendency. Of course, they're all solar in a certain respect, because they are all produced by solar Pitris or solar angels of different varieties. Five-fold Dhyanis, it sounds as if there's a five-fold structure to these beings who are the solar angels. To me, it seems as if the whole production of the egoic lotus is an emanative process whereby a greater solar angel emanates itself out in lesser and lesser extensions. Through a conscious effort of the planetary logoi, these Dhyanis and lower Pitris are brought into close relationship, and I would say at the time of the opening of the planetary heart center. That seems to be the time when this relationship is facilitated. This produces upon the third subplane of the mental plane a ninefold vibration or whorl in the gaseous matter of that plane, for this is the cosmic gaseous subplane, i.e. the mental plane is that, which after a certain period of persistence, note this, assumes the form of a nine-petaled lotus. So the whorl is there first and abides as a whorl, perhaps before the solar angels begin to substand the whorl and create a ninefold structure. This lotus is folded over in bud shape upon the central point or heart of the lotus. That spark of electric fire, it is an extension of the monad really, which by its action or innate vitality, working upon the substance of the lotus, attracts to itself sufficient of that substance to form three inner petals. So the ninefold electric fire is involved in the formation of the three inner petals. The electric fire of the inner spark is involved in the formation of the three inner petals, and we have already seen that these three inner petals are responsive to the monad through the jewel in the lotus. So it attracts to itself that spark of electric fire which by its action or innate vitality working upon the substance of the lotus. I think I want to, you know, kind of also highlight that. Attracts to itself sufficient of that substance, higher metal substance, to form three inner petals, which closely shield the central spark. These are nevertheless of the same substance or essence as the nine other petals, meaning, I suspect here, matter of the higher mental plane. Now, exactly what subplane, it's difficult to say. Originally, the initial whorl and the nine petals are formed of higher mental substance of the third subplane. The student must be careful not to materialize this concept too much, which I suppose means to render it into a concrete image which he holds. Not to materialize the concept too much, and it might therefore be wise for him to view this manifestation from other angles and employ other terms to express the same idea, which is what DK does, you know. He talks about spokes, whorls, and petals, giving us different perspectives so we do not overly concretize the image. For instance, the body of the ego may be viewed in the following four ways. Let's see, let's go to page 816, 816, let's see. As nine vibrations, nine petals of a lotus, nine spokes of a wheel, nine types of energy, which produce definite emanations from a threefold unit. Again, itself, an outgoing form, an outgoing from a central unit of force. Well, these are the different ways. Nine vibrations is yet another way. This is page 818, and let's just make this part of this little compilation and make it quite small so we'll know what we're dealing with here. Nine vibrations, nine petals. I didn't get the nine vibrations. Here they are. And I will reduce them in size so we know their character. Okay. Nine vibrations, nine petals of a lotus, nine spokes of a wheel. He's giving us enough variations so we don't land on any one particular form and decide that it is correct. Probably when we see this for ourselves, we will notice and understand why he was cautious about having us not fixate upon it, upon any one of these methods of description. Here's another important reference. Now we've seen that the innermost spark has a certain action which attracts the substance which will form the inner petals, but let's add to that idea that a downflow of buddhi takes place along the line of the monastic triangle, and I think we can see this is the monastic triangle here. So a downflow of buddhi takes place along the monastic triangle until it reaches the point of the very center of the lotus. There, by the power of its own vibration, buddhi's vibration, it causes a change in the appearance of the lotus. At the very heart of the lotus, three more petals appear. Now, we have to remember this downflow has been summoned by the activity of the central spark or jewel in the lotus. So three more petals appear which close in on the central flame, the monadic extension, the jewel in the lotus as a central flame or jewel, but really a monadic extension, covering it closely and remaining closed until the time comes for the revelation of the jewel in the lotus, I would say, which starts at the first initiation, because at that point there is some unfoldment of the, I would say at least one of the synthesis petals. Now let's see what else we have here. This is from Initiation Human and Solar, seeming to go back a little bit. It's an earlier presentation of some of the same truths. Another way of emphasizing the same truth is to regard the egoic body as a center of force, a wheel of energy, or a lotus, and to picture it as a lotus with nine petals, and we know now why nine, because that's what it is for most people. Hiding within these petals, a central unit of three petals. Hiding for a long time. These, in their turn, secrete the central life, just the way Buddhi veils Atma, or the jewel in the lotus. I think there's a direct connection between Atma, the jewel in the lotus, and the highest head center. As evolution proceeds, these three circles of three petals gradually unfold, having a simultaneous effect on one or other of the central three. So with unfoldment, there is an effect upon the synthesis petals. There is an effect upon the petals of PTL. Well, okay. These three circles are called respectively the working from the inner to the outer, the petals of sacrifice, love, and knowledge. At initiation, the rod is applied to the petals in a scientific manner and regulated according to ray and tendency. Well, there we have it. Definitely, there is an application to the petals. Definitely. This brings about the opening of the central bud, which are the innermost three, the revelation of the jewel, and the withdrawal of that jewel from the casket which has so long shielded it. And its transference to the crown, presumably the crown as a jewel in the greater crown of the solar logos, planetary logos. The crown as, or the monad, let's say, monad as a jewel in the crown of the planetary logos. So the jewel in the crown, I remember that old TV series. It was about interesting about Britain and its relationship to India, both of which have very strong first rays. So interesting then how Britain, probably, you know, consisting of many of the old first-ray souls of India, became the dominant force, even though its personality ray is the first ray, and the soul of India is the first ray. The soul of India is the first ray. And India was considered to be the jewel in the crown, the monarchy, of England, or of Great Britain. Anyway, there is the return to the monad, but the monad itself is, I think, like a jewel. And then probably in that great crown of the planetary logos, there are seven areas where monads of different types aggregate. And maybe some threefold area even above that where the essential monad finds its place as a fiery essence. This is speculation, but I always believe in the three above the seven, making the ten. Another, you know, I'm just sort of gathering references that tell us a little something about the innermost petals. Concealed at the very heart of the lotus is a brilliant point of electric fire of a blue-white hue, very important in terms of its relation to Sirius, really. The jewel in the lotus, the blue-white diamond, you see, and sometimes that gives us the justification of considering the monad basically as blue-white, whatever its other colors may be according to Ray, because the jewel in the lotus is simply an extension of the monad. So a brilliant point of blue-white hue, the jewel in the lotus surrounded and completely hidden by three close folded petals. 3, close folded. It takes a long time before one can begin to think love and will in terms of synthesis. Around this central nucleus or inner flame, it's all the same, central nucleus, inner flame, jewel of the lotus, are arranged all the 9 petals in circles of 3 petals each, making 3 circles in all, sometimes called tears, sometimes circles. These petals are formed out of the substance of the solar angels, as are the central 3. Substance which is not only sentient, as is the substance of the forms and the 3 worlds and the lunar bodies, but which has the added quality of I-ness or self-consciousness, enabling the spiritual unity at the center by means of it to acquire knowledge, awareness, and self-realization. I want to say that having thought about this before, I figure that the original substance or matter of which the egoic lotus is composed, the petals are composed, is higher mental substance, but that substanding that is energy substance of the solar angel, which has been sent to permeate and substand the substance of the higher mental plane. That substance is the substance of the solar angels is more Buddhic in nature, but in a sacrificial gesture it seems to pervade and underlie and form or act as a formative agent upon the substance energy of the higher mental plane, which is different from the substance energy of the solar angel, at least as I conceive that at this point. These 9 petals are of a predominant orange hue, though the 6 other colors are found as secondary colors in varying degree. Are these colors of the rainbow? Yet, red is not included in the usual listing of the colors of the petals. So there's something there that has to be taken into consideration, though red being a first-rate color will show up in the egoic lotus according to the soul ray. The soul ray, the color correlated with the soul ray, will appear in the egoic lotus. The inner 3 petals are of a lovely lemon yellow hue. Lovely lemon yellow, really showing their relationship to Buddhi. I would like to say, thus demonstrating relationship to Buddhi. At the base of the lotus petals are the 3 points of light which mark the position of the permanent atoms, and of course one of them is a mental unit, and which are the medium of communication between the solar angels and the lunar petries, because the solar angels are the great alchemists here and they need a method of affecting the lunar petries, which basically are embodying those vehicles formed of elemental substance. Elemental essence. By means of these permanent atoms, the ego, according to its state of evolution, can construct his lunar bodies. The ego here seems to be a combination. Ego as a combination of solar angel and man as the monad in extension. So the ego can construct the lunar bodies, acquire knowledge on the 3 lower planes, and this the monad has to do, actually. You know, the solar angel already has that, having been man before. So it is more man the monad which needs to do this, and thus by his experience, I would say over time and through the use of energy, and become aware, i.e. on the lower planes. On the higher turn of the spiral, the monad, through the egoic petals, was really always the monad that is doing everything, the monad in extension, sometimes called the jiva. On a higher turn of the spiral, the monad through the egoic petals, and thus with the aid of the solar angels, who are substanding the egoic petals, acquires knowledge and equally on a more exalted levels becomes aware. Okay. I think we can see how this gives us a little bit of understanding. So that we have maybe a basis for some speculation here about how to work with the factor of synthesis. Now, of course, maybe it's not so practical to think about what we should do when we are between the third and the fourth initiations. Probably our whole perspectives will change at that point. But we can look on ahead and see how certain energies might be considered available to accomplish certain goals, namely to achieve a synthesis of knowledge, a synthesis of love, whatever that means, a synthesis of will, whatever that means. And we'll try to give some meaning to it. Okay, let's continue a bit. The causal body has been seen as a wheel of fire, containing within its periphery three focal points of energy, the permanent atoms, really the atomic triangle, one of them the mental unit. They are analogous, as earlier pointed out, to the seventh principle, the directing principle of each of the three outer aspects, will or power, love, wisdom, and active intelligence. I suppose there's a question as to which is which. The physical permanent atom could be considered to be a correspondence to active intelligence from one perspective, always the astral permanent atom to love, wisdom, perhaps the mental unit to will or power, but we can always reverse the one and the three. Each of these focal points has its own internal economy, as seen in the spirillae, which are essentially streams of force, responding to stimulation and vibration aroused within and without their limiting ring pass not. The whole idea, we're always dealing with energies and forces here, and we may talk about something as if it's a tangible something, and yet it is a unit of force. The internal life of the permanent atom, and that which animates and produces its activity, is the life of the third aspect, and the force playing upon it and through it is the life of the second aspect. This is the solar angel, second aspect, attempting to control its mechanism through the use of the permanent atoms. As evolution proceeds, the intensity of the life forces from within and those which affect it from without grows gradually stronger and stronger, and the light of the permanent atom increases. The petals of the lotus unfold and the spokes of radiatory fire come into action, which is a lot like saying the the petals are becoming more radiant, more luminous. Spokes and petals are essentially the same. Bear in mind here that the permanent atoms are concerned with the substance aspect of existence or becoming, while the petals of the lotus or the fiery spokes of the wheel, see there they are given equivalence, deal specifically with the psychical aspect or the development of consciousness. The central nucleus and the three inner petals embody the aspect of pure spirit. It's as if the spiritual triad is also an aspect of the monad, just the way the three inner petals are an aspect of the jewel in the lotus, which is a projection of the monad. All right, can we deal with how these inner petals may be revealed? Let us see. Okay. It is, as stated elsewhere, through the permanent atoms that the ego comes en rapport with his objective world. That is, that we as an inner being, supported and pervaded by the solar angel as the angel of the presence, come en rapport with the outer world according to the our ability to work upon the permanent atoms and work through them. He works upon and through his environment successfully or blindly, just insofar as he can energize his permanent atoms. So we must assume that the human being of little development is not capable of energizing to any great extent the permanent atoms through which he works, and the force units, the spirite, are not stimulated. At least only the earliest ones are stimulated, not later ones. Just insofar as he can energize his permanent atoms and bring the spirille out of latency into potency. Apparently they do exist. What can we say? These spirille pre-exist their stimulation. So they are force structures, but have to be brought into a higher degree of stimulation. This only becomes possible as he unfolds the petals of the lotus. So the stimulation of the permanent atoms proceeds pari passu with the development of the petals of the lotus. It must be remembered that the three lower petals, when fully unfolded, affect through their vitality, the three major spirillae in the physical permanent atom. As the second ring of petals gradually opens, the astral permanent atom undergoes a similar process, I suppose, the three major spirillae, leading up to the full arousing of the spirillae, as well within the mental unit. So the astral permanent atom has the arousing, I suppose, of the three major spirillae, and this leads to the full arousing of the spirillae within the mental unit when? When the second ring of petals unfolds, or leads up to a slightly later process? Here I would point out that there is a slight difference in the case of the mental unit, for the four spirillae of the mental unit are aroused to full activity, yes, when the knowledge petal of the final three opens, and that's a definite statement. So it's, let's just call it petal seven. The opening of the remaining two reveal the glowing threefold flower, and those are the innermost petals, or the inmost petals, which lies at the center of egoic manifestation. So this answers a very important question. When do we begin to see the flower? And it must be after the first initiation, which is taken through stimulation of petal 7. But there is further work going on, and through the abnormal, strenuous and abnormal efforts of the man in petal 8 and petal 9. So when petal 8 is opening, we should be seeing something of the inner flower. Now, the inner flower can apparently unfold when the first initiation is taken, but maybe we don't see it. The inner flower begins to unfold when the first initiation is taken, but maybe it is not revealed. Anyway, in other words, the revelation of the threefold flower seems to come with the second and third initiations. It seems to say that. The revelation of the threefold flower seems to come with the second initiation and the third initiation, at which point definitely there is a revelation, and that we're told in other places when the nine petals are fully opened, the inner three are revealed. Okay, more on the petals of synthesis opening up. This is concerning the innermost circle of petals, or the set of three petals, or those three streams of whirling energy. It's so interesting, the various ways in which DK deliberately describes them, which immediately surround the jewel and the lotus. Streams of whirling energy. Each of these three petals is related to one of the three circles and is organized as each of the three circles is unfolded, but of course it's not unfolded yet. As they are unfolding, one of the three petals is organized. They form, therefore, a synthesis of knowledge, love, or sacrifice. Now that, of course, is a profound idea, and somehow we must wrap our mind around what it can really mean. A synthesis of knowledge, love, a synthesis of love, a synthesis of sacrifice, or a synthesis of all of them considered together. Because these three factors, let's just say, they must be correlated. Perhaps sufficient knowledge leading to wisdom induces love, and sufficient love brings on sacrifice, inevitably. It's hard to see how sacrifice would occur without a sufficiency of love. So each of the three petals is related to one of the three circles and is organized as each of the three circles is unfolded, and the unfolding of the outer circle can take a long time, so the organization of the synthesis knowledge petal can take a long time. And then lesser times, according to the duration of the unfoldment of one of the outer circles of petals. The least time will be taken to organize the synthesis petal of will, because the least time in the developmental process of the human being occurs during the period of initiation, when the petals of will for the mental plane are developed and unfolded. So they form a synthesis of knowledge, love, or sacrifice, and are closely connected through the type of force flowing through them with one of the three higher centers of the planetary logos of a man's particular race. So probably from a particular planet, this force comes, and the planetary source is correlated with a man's ray. The central unit of the threefold force is dealt with in a specific manner at initiation, during each, or only at the fourth initiation? That's the question. At the first, the second, and third initiations, one of the three petals opens up, permitting an ever freer display of the central electric point. But now, can we contrast this with the idea that the opening of the remaining two reveal the glowing threefold flower? Well, it seems a contradiction. because it seems that the opening of petal number 7, which is correlated with the first initiation, should also reveal the threefold flower. It would seem that the opening of petal 7, which is correlated to the first initiation, should also reveal something of the threefold flower. And yet DK earlier seems to be saying that only when the petal 8 and 9 open is there the vision of the threefold flower. Anyway, we have two statements. At the first, the second, and third initiations, one of the three petals opens up, permitting an ever, and presumably this would be visible, would be revealed and visible, permitting an ever freer display of the central electric point, probably displayed very little at the first initiation, and increasingly so at the second, and more so at the third, and then finally at the fourth, completely displayed. At the fourth initiation, the jewel being completely revealed, because the synthesis petals have burst open, we'll see that, through its blazing light, its intense radiatory heat, and its terrific outflow of force, monad is really something here, really, in its form as the jewel in the lotus, produces the disintegration of the surrounding form, the shattering of the causal body, and the destruction of the Temple of Solomon, and the dissolution of the lotus flower. Let's just say this should be correlated with letters on occult meditation and the seven different ways of producing the destruction of the causal body. The egoic ray seems involved, but also the ray of the monad, I would say. The work of the initiator is involved in it as well. The work of the initiator in this connection is very interesting. Through the medium of the rod of initiation and certain words of power, he brings about results of a coordinating, transmuting, and liberating nature. So, there are many factors involved in this destruction. And the fiery atomic triangle is one, the will aspect, the second aspect of the will from the Buddhic plane is another, the nature of the egoic lotus is another, and its ray, the nature of the monad involved, and there may be seven types of monad, as well as a higher three. That is also involved, so certainly we do see that the power of the monad working through the jewel and the lotus is a definite factor in the destruction of the causal body. So anyway, our question is just when are the synthesizing petals seen and the increasing light of the jewel and the lotus? When actually does that occur? Because we're told, in one place we're told it occurs at each of the three initiations, and in another that the glowing threefold flower is only revealed as the eighth and ninth petal open up, which have more to do with the second and third initiation than with the first. Although, well, I can't, according to the way I've been thinking, I can't really say that although organizational work may be done in the eighth petal before there is the opening of the seventh, it seems to me that the opening of the seventh is correlated with the path of probation and the strenuous and abnormal efforts of the candidate for initiation, and then the application of the rod of initiation to the seventh petal, guaranteeing the complete opening of the fifth and partial opening of the sixth. At least for the moment, you know, until viewing these things directly, that's the way I conceive of it. So I'm not conceiving that the opening of the eighth petal, which could take a long time because it's between the first and second initiation, has to do with the first initiation per se. The main eighth petal work, as far as I'm concerned, takes place after the first initiation and quite a bit of unfoldment of the seventh petal. Through the action of the rod as wielded at the first two initiations, the two outer circles unfold. This is probably going to be different than the normal kind of unfoldment. The energy of the two is set free. I think that's very important because the type of unfoldment we're talking about is different than the sequential unfoldment, you know, where even a very primitive man, a Brahmic lotus with just one petal mostly unfolded is nowhere near the initiatory process, and yet there is unfoldment there. So through the action of the rod as wielded at the first two initiations, the first two outer circles unfold, the energy of the two is set free, and two sets of force embodied in the six petals are coordinated and become interactive. And this is kind of a new way of looking at unfoldment, the interactivity of two tiers of petals. This is called petal adjustment. The stage of petal adjustment succeeds upon that called earlier unfoldment and has to do with the simultaneous action of two tiers of petals. And you kind of wonder whether petal adjustment can occur when the outer tier springs open even before the inner tier, the love tier, opens up. I do agree, it does seem to me that when two tiers of petals are open, definitely the first two initiations have been taken, but it's difficult to conceive of an unfolded outer tier as signaling the taking of the first initiation. I think it comes later. So maybe I can, an unfolded outer tier does not mean the taking of the first initiation, but an outer tier that has sprung open and is undergoing, let's call it, petal adjustment. That process may indicate the taking of first initiation. And with it, petals 4 and 5 will be completely unfolded. So the interplay between the two creative I just have to go to 884 just to check what that is, because it looks like my word corrector. The interplay between the two circles is completed. So it says, between the two circles is completed, and the circulation of the force currents perfected. According to a man's ray and subray, so is the rod applied to what might be termed the key petal. Key suggests sound, it suggests pitch, it suggests a correlation with color and ray. But, you know, if a person is, let's say, a second-ray soul, it's not always the middle petal to which the rod will be applied. Perhaps the rod is applied in different ways to all the petals at the time of initiation. I mean, who knows how the rod of initiation is applied, and whether applied to all the petals in a tier at the time of initiation, and in a special way to the, quote, key petal. The details of such a science are not given to us at this time. This, of course, differs according to the unit of force involved. So the technicalities of it must be astonishing to our mind at the moment. But then we're just being given the ABCs. Really, what we can conclude is that the initiator knows exactly what he's doing according to the type of unit, type of energy unit we are. It is of interest to note here that as the petal substance is Deva substance, and as the energy of the petals is the energy of certain Manasa Devas, one of the three higher orders of Agnishvata, so maybe discriminating between substance and energy here, possibly. So possibly discriminating between substance and energy. So we have a petal substance and energy of higher Manasa Deva. So two things are involved. Petal substance, which is Deva substance, and also energy of certain Agnishvatas. The initiate is overshadowed. The word is not entirely satisfactory in explaining the type of Deva service here necessitated, but it must suffice, by a great Deva who represents the equilibrium of substantial vibration, which is brought about by the efforts of the initiate, aided by the adepts. I guess he's working in substance. The initiate is working in substance. He's working in substance to bring about a certain state of that substance, aided by the adepts who present him and who each represent one of two polarities of force. And this is stabilized by the initiator. So it's all the great science of electricity on the fifth ray in this process of initiation. And there are two kingdoms involved, the human kingdom and high representatives of that human kingdom, and also a great Deva. And all of this is occurring at the various initiations. We should learn something about these, you know, through the Masonic movement. One can learn something about this because it's meant to be a reflection of what occurs on the inner planes, and increasingly will be, and maybe one day will be the real thing when the Christ becomes the initiator for the first and second initiation in the age of Aquarius. So there are different stages through which these vortices of force pass. And we have certain words, but we have to discriminate very, very carefully, because petal adjustment is one such big word. It's not exactly petal coordination. It's something other after unfoldment has occurred. So we have some cumbersome words here meant to represent successive stages. Here's another little thought. The synthesis petals are called veils, or sacred petals. One stimulating influence comes from the will aspect of the monad, and thus, through transmission from the first aspect of the planetary logos, and the other emanates from the sacred bud, which veils the jewel. And that is going to be, of course, these synthesis petals. This is a particularly strong vibration, because when the inner circle is unfolded, the jewel is revealed, and the three veils or sacred petals open successfully, successively, when the three tiers unfold. Well, once again, we are being told of opening. So, we are being told of and opening. When the three tiers unfold and unfold in the manner of petal adjustment, which follows upon normal unfoldment. And we are being told that there is revelation before petal 8 and petal 9 unfold. So there is an apparent contradiction. Maybe it's just in words. But that if we're talking about the seventh petal and its correlation with the outer three, the first synthesis petal for knowledge and its correlation with the outer three petals, it does unfold at the first initiation and apparently is revealed to some small extent. Really is going to require some pondering here. I wonder how we could come to a conclusion which would simply be valuable, and that is the conclusion that as initiation is taken, there is a definite stirring within the synthesis petals and a kind of opening, maybe not very much, but a kind of opening does occur. And as the various tiers of petals are unfolding, and they can do some unfolding before initiation is actually taken, obviously, there is organizational work or a kind of activity, reflex activity, occurring within the synthesis petals. Here's another reference which may be of value. After each initiation, the lotus is more unfolded and the light from the center begins to blaze forth. Let's see, and here it is, after each initiation, which means after the first initiation as well. Unless the first initiation was indicated by the unfoldment of petal 8, then there is a contradiction. Now, the way I have conceived it is that petal number 8 is very much connected with the period. The period between the first and second initiation and its unfoldment involving great sacrifice has much more to do with the second initiation than with the second initiation than with the first. And I've based my premise upon that, and I think it is justifiable. So when an apparent contradiction appears, we have to be patient until we know more and can resolve the matter. Anyway, light from the center after each initiation. Each. And if petal number 5, fully unfolded, represents the first degree, I cannot see how petal number 8, being fully unfolded, would represent that same degree. But the second degree, I think, it can represent. So after each initiation, the lotus is more unfolded, and light from the center begins to blaze forth, a lighter fire which ultimately burns through the three enshrining petals. That's what it's called, because a shrine is created around the central fire or central life, a place of devotion, of dedication, a place which augments our appreciation of the central worshipful unit. and permits the inner glory to be seen and electric fire spirit to be manifested. Okay. This is, these are important points, and obviously we can see how through pure, well, through reasoning, and eventually through pure reason, we can put our understanding of these things together into something that makes sense. But I think we are seeing that after each initiation, the light from the center blazes forth more. Now that does mean some unfolding of the enshrining petals, or at least the first, and then the second, and then the third. The technicalities of how much reflex action is found in each of the petals and at what point, we'll have to wait. But I suppose, you know, as the initiation process is occurring, there is a reflex action of activity, even in the synthesis will petal. So, you know, even when we're dealing with the first initiation, some sort of reflex action is occurring in that synthesis will petal. Here are some other references which may be of interest. It is only when the etheric centers, the two head centers and the heart center, are fully active, with their 12 petals completely unfolded. And what does that mean? You know, does that mean the heart center and the heart in the head center? Because both have 12 petals, right? That the central circle of petals in the egoic lotus, the fourth or inner circle, unfolds. Well, let's go to TCF 170. And we will see that this is between the third and fifth initiation. I believe we will anyway. Let's see. Let's see what we will see. This is TCF, and it's going to be 170, and heart, throat, head center, and spiritual man to the fifth initiation. The heart, the seven head centers, which are not mentioned in the reference we've just looked at, and the two many-petaled lotuses. So this has to be, okay, TCF 170. Nope, that's not it. So the unfoldment of the inmost circle necessitates that the individual have passed the third degree. Because we see spiritual man to the fifth, the heart, the seven head centers, at least the heart and the two many-petaled lotuses. That's what's being discussed here. The two head centers and the heart center. The seven head centers are not mentioned, but they can be included, of course, are fully active. Fully active heart center touching the Buddhic plane. Let's just say... because the heart is correlated with Buddhi, touching the Buddhi plane, the seven head centers, and the two many-petaled lotuses, let us say that the heart in the head center is fully unfolded, whatever that means, or fully active. Then the inmost circle can unfold. So that helps us pinpoint, once again, the fact that the real unfoldment of this inmost circle is occurring after the third degree. There may be some light coming through some kind of a degree of unfoldment at each initiation, but it's not enough to really be called unfoldment of the synthesis petals. So, what are the stages for the unfoldment of the synthesis petals? Let's just say three stages of unfoldment of the synthesis petals. The first is at each initiation, a little. After the third degree, when the heart, ajna, and heart and head are fully unfolded, and later, when the synthesis petals burst open, revealing the jewel. Those would be the three stages in the unfoldment of the synthesis petals. So that's what we just looked at here, page 861. So here we have three petals at the center opening up, revealing the blazing jewel, all right? Therefore, though the originating impulse comes from the central point, it is not at first apparent. And this may be impulse to what? Let's just say impulse to the, how about this? For the destruction of the causal body? At the moment of individualization, a dim outline of a form, such as earlier described, has made its appearance on mental levels, which, and which, this is a point not recognized by Susan, becomes apparent that a period on mental levels has transpired, given over to a preparation for the imminent event. So it's not anything all at once, this sudden appearance of the lotus. Earlier we learned a vortex, that learned that a whirl appeared before it was distinguished as ninefold, then 12-fold, when the Buddhic flow begins. Through the activity of the solar angels, the 12 petals have gradually taken form, because otherwise it's just a whirl of force. That which appears is just a whirl of force. As the point of electric fire at the heart has begun to make itself felt, even though not as yet localized, then the first three petals take shape and close down upon the vibrant point of jewel under the potency of the law of attraction. And this is interesting and something that I didn't really realize. It looks like the synthesis petals take shape first. Possible? And one by one, the other nine petals take shape as the vibrations begin to affect solar substance. The three types of petals being each under the influence of one or other of the major rays. I suppose ray one for the will petals, ray 2 for the love, and ray 3 for the knowledge petals. These in their turn come under the influence of forces, a force from cosmic center. So there's really, well, I suppose the spiritual triad itself is under influence from cosmic centers. But this is very interesting. At this point, it seems that the first three petals are the inmost petals, and that they take shape first. Above, it seemed that the petals of synthesis took shape last. Okay, this we've just seen, And I don't think there's a reason to repeat it. We have just dealt with that very thing. Now, let's see, if we go up here, and take a look at a downflow of Buddhi takes place along the line of monastic force. There, by the power of its own vibration, it causes a change in the appearance of the lotus. At the very heart of the lotus, three more petals appear, which close in on the central flame, covering it closely and remaining closed until the time of the revelation. Now, here, it seems that here we have the three inmost petals appearing later than the nine, and below, is it page 767, they seem to come first. Well, this is not something we can resolve unless, of course, you know, there is a misunderstanding of what I'm reading here, but let's just say check TCF 709 for an apparent contradiction. I hope I'm not just being too concrete-minded here and seeing contradictions where there are none. It seems that I am detecting some differences in order. Well, here are some references about the destruction of the egoic lotus. The causal body is then expressed in terms of fire, a blazing center of heat, radiating to its group warmth and vitality. So as we grow in our radiance, our group will benefit, definitely, from everything we are. Within the periphery of the egoic wheel can be seen nine spokes rotating with intense rapidity. And I would say, you know, apparently, in the same direction. And after the third initiation becoming fourth dimensional, or the wheel turning upon themselves, in which case the rotation cannot necessarily contradict the rotation of the synthesis petals. In this case, the rotation of the nine cannot contradict the rotation of the synthesis petals. In the midst, forming a certain geometrical triangle, differing according to the ray of the monad, can be seen three points of fire, you know, and I've speculated, equilateral ray 1, isosceles ray 2, 3, 4, 5, triangle ray 3. I've speculated. Or the permanent atoms and the metal unit in all their glory. At the center can be seen a central blaze of glory growing in intensity as the three inner petals respond to the stimulation. The stimulation coming from where? From the jewel in the lotus and from the rod of initiation. When the fire of matter, or fire by friction, becomes sufficiently intense, and that's the atomic triangle, when the fire of mind, of solar fire, which vitalizes the nine petals, becomes equally fierce through its development to that point, and when the electric spark at the innermost center blazes out and can be seen, the entire causal body becomes radioactive. Well, that's its destruction, right? Prelude to its destruction. Then the fires of substance, the vitality of the permanent atoms, escape from the atomic sphere and add their quota to the great sphere in which they are contained. And let's just say this sphere is probably the sphere of the spiritual triad. The fire of mind blends with its emanating source, and the central life escapes, and that is the monad in extension on its way back to the monad, but not yet. fire of mind blends with its emanating source. What source would that be? Perhaps it can have something to do with the mind aspect of the triad. This is the great liberation. The man, in terms of human endeavor, has achieved his goal. Notice how the Tibetan qualifies carefully. In terms of human endeavor, he has passed through the three halls, ignorance, learning, and wisdom, and in each has transferred that which he gained therein to the content of his consciousness, now going to be on higher planes. And notice the hall of wisdom might very well continue. He has ordered, in ordered sequence, developed and opened the petals of the lotus, first opening the lower three, and I wanted to say, but not all at once. Otherwise, there would be no Brahmic lotuses, no lotuses of Brahman, no lotuses of passion and desire, no primary lotuses, each of which has a different number of petals unfolded, and different combinations. So he, first opening the lower three, which involves a process covering a vast period of time, then the second series of petals are opened during a period of time covering his participation intelligently in world affairs, until he enters the spiritual kingdom at the first initiation. There's some discrepancy there. Sometimes on the path of probation, it's considered that he has entered the spiritual kingdom, or even the hall of wisdom. DK presents statements in overlapping form. And a final briefer period wherein the three higher or inner ring of petals are developed and opened. But let's just say the second series of petals are opened, but the fifth fully opened at the first degree and the sixth fully opened at the second, as far as I can understand. All right. Another summary statement. At the early stages after individualization, the egoic body has the appearance of a bud. Well, we're told there are no more bud lotuses, strictly speaking, at this time. But there are those, I think, on the way from bud to the first full opening of the first petal. We're told that every human being has one petal open, but how much so? He didn't say completely opened, okay? Maybe I'm expecting too much. The electric fire at the center is not apparent, and all the nine petals, which are the obvious ones, are closed down upon the inner three. Now, this does not tell us whether the inner three occurred first or last. The color orange has a dead aspect, and the three points of light at the base are just points and nothing more. The triangle, which is later seen, connecting the points, is not demonstrated. So this is how it looks at first. The surrounding sphere is colorless and is only to be appreciated as undulatory vibrations, like waves in the air or ether, reaching barely beyond the petal outline. But later, there is a radiance which transcends the sphere or the oval, much later, just so we get the idea of the contrast. By the time the third initiation is reached, so we've jumped millions of years, a wondrous transformation has transpired. The outer sphere is palpitating with every color of the rainbow. I guess there are first-ray souls where red is involved, and is of wide radius, much wider than that of the physical body, whether the egoic lotus itself is big or small. The streams of electrical energy circulating in it are so powerful that they are escaping beyond the periphery of the circle, resembling the rays of the sun. That's what I wanted to emphasize above, going beyond the sphere or the oval. The nine petals are fully unfolded. All right, that's it. Third degree. Nine petals fully unfolded, something we really have to understand as a landmark, forming a gracious setting for the central jewel, which is what? Visible only to a certain extent? Visible somewhat, because at least he said at the eighth and ninth petal, that central flower was visible. And their orange hue is now of a gorgeous translucence, shot with many colors, that of the egoic ray predominating. So, so somehow, red, even red, can make its way into the demonstration. Pen ultimate demonstration. The triangle at the base is now quickened, and scintillating of the three points are small blazing fires showing to the eye of the clairvoyant as sevenfold whorls of light, circulating their light from point to point of a rapidly moving triangle. But of course, one of them is the mental unit, so unless it has somehow joined up with a monastic permanent atom, it can't be sevenfold. So, unless the mental unit has joined with a monastic permanent atom, there cannot be a sevenfold demonstration, as there is with the physical permanent atom and the astral permanent atom. Understand what I mean? Because the monastic permanent atom is threefold, and the mental unit is fourfold, and together they would make a sevenfold demonstration. I guess it's all a question of where we actually find that monastic permanent atom. Does it have a place at the base of the triangle? And is there a point with this building of the Antikrana where the monastic permanent atom and mental unit join and make a sevenfold unit? These are the questions which have to occur to us. Now, probably will generate a lot more questions than we can offer substantive answers. By the time the fourth initiation is reached, the activity of this triangle is so great that it looks more like a wheel in rapid revolution. It has a fourth dimensional aspect. And also a fourth dimensional aspect in the rotation of the petals. The three petals at the center are opening up. We're going to say, really? Really opening up? Not just a little. Revealing the blazing jewel. At this initiation, through the action of the Hierophant wielding the electric rod of power, it is Sanakumara, and it is electric, the three fires are suddenly stimulated by the downflow of electric or positive force from the monad, and they're blazing out in response, produces that merging which destroys the entire sphere. And that's so interesting because it tells us something about the nature of the destruction. The merging which destroys the entire sphere dissipates all appearance of form, and so we get a supernova on our hands here, and produces a moment of equilibrium or of suspension, the equilibrized atoms, right? The 13th type of monadic stage of unfoldment through the egoic lotus. A moment of equilibrium or suspension in which the elements are consumed with fervent heat. So look to TCF 1081 for the 13th type of monadic expression, type of monadic unfoldment. The moment of highest radiation is known. Then through the pronouncement of a certain word of power, the great solar angels gather back into themselves. The solar fire, or let's just say their lesser emanated petries, thus producing the final dissipation of the form, and hence the separation of the life from the form, as the solar angels were providing a great deal of life. Solar angels were providing a great vitality here, along with the monad, which has withdrawn. with the withdrawal of the jewel in the lotus. The fire of matter returns to the general reservoir, rule 4 in the Ray's initiations, and the permanent atoms and causal body are no more, but their essence has risen into some higher vehicle. The central electric spark becomes centralized in Atmabuddhi. And I would say within the Buddhic permanent atom and the Atmic permanent atom. The thinker or spiritual entity stands free of the three worlds and functions consciously on the Buddhic plane. Between these two stages of quiescent, though self-conscious inertia, they started this off, and that of radiant activity which produces a balancing of forces is a long series of lives. And here is another which basically says the same, only we have a slightly different wording. By the time the third initiation is taken, the inner circle of petals is opened, and the full-blown lotus is seen in all its beauty. Uh-huh. So the inner circle of petals is opened, and the full-blown lotus in all its beauty. Well, I suspect that means 9. This means 9 petals. At the fourth initiation, the inner bud bursts open through the effect of the electrical rod of force of the rod, which brings the power of the synthetic ray of the solar system itself, and the inner jewel is thus revealed. Another perspective, and I want to point out these words. The inner bud bursts open. A little earlier, those were not the words that were used. It was something about, what was it? Oh, well, I'm not going to find that. But the idea is revealed. Slowly is revealed. No. Well, it's here. Definitely here, but I don't want to go hunting for it. Let's just say the words burst open are not used. The three petals at the center are opening up, revealing the blazing jewel. That's the one I was looking for. So I will highlight it and make it bigger. Okay. Making it bigger, that may take one more try. Yeah, all right. So, three petals at the center opening up, revealing the blazing jewel. That's at the fourth initiation, but also this idea of bursting open. The work has been accomplished. The energy resident in the permanent atoms has vitalized all the spirillae, the lower ones, whilst the perfected force of the lotus and the dynamic will of the central spark is brought into full and united activity, and this is the merging which destroys the lotus. This brings about a threefold display of vital force which causes the disintegration of the form, with the following results. The permanent atoms become radioactive, and the ring pastinite is therefore no longer a barrier to the lesser units within. The electronic lives in their various groups escape and return to the eternal reservoir. Again, rule 4 in the Ray's initiations. They form substance of a very high order and will produce the forms of those existences who in another cycle will seek vehicles. The petals are destroyed by the action of fire, that's the completion of all the 9 petals, and the multiplicity of deva lives which form them and give them their coherence and quality are gathered back by the solar petries. So these are, you know, solar, these are solar devas, and they're gathered back by the solar petries of the highest order into the heart of the sun. Our egoic lotus is made of petries of varying orders, and they will be directed outward again in another solar system, and perhaps will be together forming something of what we might call a planetary logos. The atomic substance will be used for another Manvantara, a big one, probably the next solar system, but the solar petries will not again be called upon to sacrifice themselves until the next solar system, when they will come in as planetary rays. And this is such an important statement because it gives us the whole idea of group ascent, thus repeating on monadic levels in the next system what they have done in this, and they will be then planetary logoi. But together in groups, they will become planetary logoi. The central life electric returns to its source, escaping out of the prison and functioning as a center of energy on planes of cosmic etheric. In other words, energy, and it will be first residing in Atma Buddhi, and then back to the monad itself. And I don't have the exact reference here about being breathed forth as planetary logoi, but they are breathed forth as planetary logoi in groups. Well, okay, I trust that this discussion of the inner synthesis petals, even though there have been some apparent contradictions, I'm always careful. I never just say contradictions, I say apparent, because I know it's my own limitations which prevent me from understanding that apparent contradictions are not real contradictions. So that this little discussion of several references, not all of them, but a number of them, a number of the important ones, give us an idea of something of the synthesis petals. And my next attempt, and it will be simply an attempt, will be to try to look at the various ray, astrological, and zodiacal energies, ray, zodiacal, planetary energies, and see how they might be applied, how they can contribute to this consciously pursued synthesis of knowledge, synthesis of love, synthesis of will occurring between the third and the fourth initiations. Now, this is not exactly a program with an even number of minutes. It's more like it's more like 1 hour and 40 minutes, but let's just say that this will be the end of Egoic Lotus Webinar Commentary Program 60, and foundational references for the petals of synthesis. And we will begin with Egoic Lotus Webinar Commentary Program 61, and we'll call it the energies and the development of the factor of synthesis through the three petals of synthesis. Rather long title, but that's more or less what it will be. Okay, friends, I'm glad I had a chance to do this today. It was such a busy day with many things that had to be done, many mundane things that I didn't know if I'd get to it, but I have a little bit. This should give us a foundation for thinking of how we will, when the day comes, relate to the cultivation of the synthesis petals and really develop in our energy system the synthesis of knowledge, synthesis of love, synthesis of will. Those are interesting words, and let's see if we can understand at some point what they mean. So, see you soon. Bye-bye.